Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore called to solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you all of the stuff that found its way to my printer that I took home and read, marked up, thought it was interesting, but couldn't figure out how to put it into one coherent segment. So what are you to do when you don't want to throw stuff away? You play an outdated opening to a show nobody remembers and you call it Wide World of Christian Radio. I nailed it again, Jimmy.
Every time.
I am killing it with the Wide World of Sports. This is Wretched Radio. Looks like there's trouble in paradise. Couldn't be happier about it, frankly. Are you familiar with the Freedom From Religion Foundation? They maybe don't get quite as much attention as the ACLU, but it is an organization that I think has done so much damage to our country. They file over 500 lawsuit threats a year. They find what they believe is some sort of infraction of constitutional law, and they send off threatening letters. We're going to sue you if you don't stop talking about God. If you pray at the 50-yard line, we're going to shut you down. We're going to take you to court. And most times people acquiesce because they just don't want to deal with the legal fees. It's the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Do you remember the commercial? Ron Reagan Jr. did a commercial for them. And this was, Jimmy, I don't know that we maybe have that in our sound file someplace, but he basically said something like, I don't care if I go to hell. I'll happily go to hell rather than be with a God like the Christian God. It was like, wow. You know what? In fact, now that I think about it, I just saw Ron Reagan Jr. I mean, I didn't bump into him at the Publix. I saw Ron Reagan Jr., a younger version of him, on a biography about his dad. I watched the whole thing. I've seen it before. It was on PBS. No, I don't fund him. No, I haven't become a liberal. I just flipping by and it's like, oh, something on Reagan. That's better than watching something on Carter. Imagine that. And I was transfixed by it because I have to confess to you, I don't know if it's the age. I don't know if it's because when you watch something that has grainy footage, you can become somewhat nostalgic. But wow, I just don't think we have the same types of politicians with the same types of values and goals that we once did. Reagan was exceptional. He had a vision that was really spectacular. And it wasn't just supply side economics. It was that. But what really drove him was the abolition of totalitarianism, that governments would get off of the backs of their people and let people live with liberty. That's what he was after. Yeah, and then when he was dealing with Russia, yep, he was dealing with nuclear disarmament, but he was wanting the government, fundamentally, he wanted communism to go away because it was bad for people. And he so cherished liberty. That's what drove the man. And his accomplishments are legendary because of it. And it just, he said the men that were surrounding him at the time, they looked like they belong in the White House. They just had this comportment that said, these are important things. And we're not silly men. And we understand with the decisions that are made here have massive implications. And I felt kind of nostalgic because I think it's been a degradation ever since him, quite honestly. Maybe since George Bush Sr. He had that comportment. Bill Clinton. And those that have followed, I don't think they even come close to that sort of stature. And the son was on basically kind of putting a knife in his dad's back. Oh, this was brutal. And it was such a moving portrayal of Ronald Reagan when he came out and said that he had Alzheimer's. And remember, he penned that letter. Thank you, America. We decided to tell you so it brings attention to this awful disease. I'm now in the sunset of my life. Oh, man, Scylla. And they cut away to Ron Reagan Jr. And he said, you know, Alzheimer's is bad, which is always a setup for here it comes. Alzheimer's is really bad, but you know, it's not like we miss something we never had with my dad. Oh, dude, whew. That is not honoring your father and your mother. Well, now he's just a full-blown atheist. He rails against Christianity, and he's a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is experiencing some trouble. Why? They posted an article by one of their members who couldn't figure out what a woman is, basically stating, summarizing, and it's a nice rhyme, psychology supersedes biology. So if you think that you're a woman, but you're obviously a dude, well, forget biology. We leave that behind and we simply believe what you think. This is where Carl Truman has been so helpful with his, it's not the only explanation for why we live in a world where the autonomous, authentic, modern self can change reality because of belief. It is so about inward focus these days. And I was actually prepared this for the sermon Sunday at alpharettabiblechurch.org, talking about the music and the movies and the books that influence us, that just get seep into us. Do you remember? And I thought of one, I think must have been the 90s, maybe 80s. Jimmy, you're a fan of the Madonna. Express Yourself.
Uh-huh.
Express Yourself. Huh. What was she doing? Well, she was really just putting into popular format what the Romantic poets taught, what postmodernism built, that it's all about you and your truth and your desires. You do not conform to society. Society conforms to you. I don't get in alignment with the world. The world has to affirm me. Why? Because it's what I think. I think, therefore, that's what I am. That's the transgender movement. And this woman wrote an article that said, yep, you think it, that's what you actually are. And then somebody wrote a response. He was on the board of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Apparently, it's an honorary board. I suspect it's either just to have some sort of academic credentials or they maybe, I don't know, support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. But it's a 14-member honorary board. Jerry Coyne is the name of the fellow who was on the board. Was he a math teacher? He was a professor. And he wrote a response to this woman. And it is, well, it's really good. So I'm going to share it. Biology, he writes, biology is not bigotry. Oh, that's awesome. It was Cat Grant who wrote the article at Free Thought Now. She struggles to define the word woman. Rejecting one definition after another as flawed, as incomplete, finally settles on a definition based on self-identity. A woman, she said, is whoever she says she is. Hey, Jimmy?
Yes.
I'm short.
No, you're not. I guess.
No, yes, I am. I think I'm short.
If you want to be.
Yeah, I'm short. In fact, I'm short. So I'm going to have some titanium, some sort of rods shoved into the bottom of my feet to make me taller.
You don't need those.
I'm short.
Okay.
And you go, we need to talk and you need a mirror and you need a measuring tape because that's not reality. But according to this woman, writing Free Thought Now, a woman is whoever she says she is. And this fellow, who was a honorary board member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, writes this. The remarkable redefinition of a term with a long biological history can be seen only as an attempt to force ideology onto nature. You are not always fat if you feel fat. That's anorexia. You're not a horse if you feel like you're a horse. Those are people who are called therians. They think that they're animals. And do not become Asian simply because you feel Asian. That's transracialism. was just, I think it was at Not the Bee. I'm hoping this article gets debunked. It was a story of a woman. Story of a guy who wants to be a woman. Everything takes so long to explain these days. Who had 6 ribs removed so that his/her, it's a he pretending to be a she, would have a smaller waist. And now supposedly using those ribs to make a crown. Okay. We should be having compassion for these people. Something's wrong. Now, it might not be that extreme, but something is wrong when you think you are what you're not. Transracialism? But sex, she tells us, is different. It's the one biological feature of humans that can be changed solely by psychology. And this guy writes, why should sex be changeable while other physical traits cannot? Feelings don't create reality. So what did the Freedom From Religion do? They got rid of the honorary board, including Richard Dawkins. Looks like there's trouble in paradise for Freedom From Religion Foundation. And thanks, by the way, Dan Barker and Annie Gaylor Barker for showing us your true colors. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at FortisPlus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Krotz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently, I forgot my lion's mane, which is kind of ironic. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, did I use the word pieta earlier in the last segment? I think I did.
Okay.
Just
yes.
I'm pretty sure I did. I don't know why I did, but I did. And in my brain, it reminded me of Michelangelo. But because, as you know, this program is very disciplined, I would not get distracted from the subject matter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation to veer into Italian art history of Michelangelo. But now I'm gonna, because I was reading this article from Place for Truth. I did not know this. You know Michelangelo. You know that he must have had some sort of Catholic influence. He, of course, painted the Sistine Chapel, and he didn't do one Pietà. He did three that included the Mother, the Virgin Mary. The one that I saw was in the Vatican. It is no one. This his first Pietà is the one that's in the Vatican. I'm not an art critic by any means, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's almost ethereal at how it's carved. It's not like chiseled and rough, nor is it like so high polished that it feels like a marble floor. It's just, whew, there's something about it. It's and it propelled him into popularity. It also made him a rich man. So I knew that there was something religious, Roman Catholic about the guy, but I didn't know that the Reformation had made its way to Italy. And that Michelangelo was actually, he sat under the preaching, to what degree, I do not know, of Jerome Savonarola. Does the name ring a bell? It should. He was the Florentine Roman Catholic priest who railed against Rome. I wish, Jimmy, would you be kind enough? You can use your AI machine. Go, just type in Jerome Savonarola and as critiques of the Vatican. And wow, did he critique in very vivid language Michelangelo. Listen to his preaching. So from the article, let's do a little art history lesson. Michelangelo's last sculpture is puzzling. It's the Pietà Rondanini. It's the third and last Pietà sculpted by the artist, and it does not look like the Vatican Pietà. It's two imprecise figures of Jesus and Mary melting into one with a fragment of Jesus's arm detached from his body. What was going on there? Some attribute the change to his old age, which had weakened his arm and his eyesight, but most critics see it as an expression of his spiritual search, which intensified with time. The older he got, the closer death appeared on the horizon, the more earnest he became about his eternity. Born in 1475 in a small stone house on the Tuscan hills. I can taste the pesto from here. Michelangelo moved to Florence, eventually convinced his reluctant father to allow him to pursue an artistic career. In spite of promising beginnings, and then at the court of Lorenzo de' Medici, which his influence was all over Michelangelo. The Medici family was big into Neoplatonism, bringing Greek ideals forward. That's why David's naked, if you've ever wondered. Michelangelo was struggling to survive in 1497 when the commission for the first Pietà came his way, made him famous. But his life runs parallel to the events of the Protestant Reformation, and is characterized by an equally turbulent search for God's acceptance. Isn't that fascinating? Even if he remained within the Roman Catholic Church until the end, he's an example of the pervasive effect of the Reformation in the lives of its contemporaries. In the Medici court, Michelangelo became influenced by the sermons of Friar Guillermo Savonarola. Jimmy, you got any of his quotes?
Don't have any of his quotes.
No. You use the AI machine?
Yeah.
I've got his quotes, and that was before the AI machine.
Okay.
I mean, it was like, if we open up the doors of the Vatican, sewage will belch out because of the debauchery that is going on behind closed doors. Tell your AI machine, to quit editing. I'm not kidding. You can do that with an I'm try it. I've done this with AI. I'll ask AI for something and it'll say, you know, coming up, something that might be deemed as critical of another world religion or the effects of a worldview. Hey, can you find this for me? This type of information is difficult to find, and it is often best to consider that there are differing views on whether or not this critique is actually accurate. And I'll type into the AI machine, quit editing, quit censoring, quit telling me what to do, and give me the information. I'm very sorry. Here you go. Out it goes. Don't think AI doesn't censor. Which, if I were a less focused man, I would share a World article with you about AI. I don't know who wrote that one either, because the name of the author doesn't appear. But wow, they're good thinkers there. Be careful. AI, Christians better start getting in the game with thinking about the implications of this, because it has mega benefits, but it could be a mega monster. And it transhumanism, and it could, what do they call it? The one, you know, where the computer becomes God of the universe and starts dictating morals and values. And then you've got the people who are willing to submit to the AI type of divinity versus those of us who won't, because we know it's nothing but a machine. Get ready. World was really strong about it. It's coming. You find those quotes yet on Savonarola?
Yeah, I have a couple.
All right.
The Pope may err, and that in two ways. Either be he is erroneously informed or from malice.
Okay. That isn't as strong as that guy wrote. He was fire, that guy. You can't find it on the AI?
No, that's what it's spitting out.
Savonarola, say, just for, you don't need to type in a question. Savonarola's critiques on the debauchery of the Vatican. That should get it for you. Back to our article. Savonarola fiercely censured the greed and corruption of both church and rulers. Sermons the artist, Michelangelo, couldn't get out of his mind, even in his old age, in spite of his disagreements with the friar on the dangers of classical art. So Savonarola was railing against that too, which of course, Michelangelo was modern art. Isn't that funny to consider? But he did appreciate his sermons and his critiques of the Roman Catholic Church. With his artistic career continuing to soar, especially with David in 1501 and the Sistine Chapel fresco in 1512, Michelangelo continued his spiritual search. His art moved away from an insistence on aesthetic perfection, that's interesting, and became increasingly a mean of investigation and reflection on God. So his art, rather than reflecting what reality is, no, I'm going to have it make a statement. That's fascinating. Don't forget, art speaks. There's always a worldview behind everything. By the 1530s, Martin Luther made a break with Rome, and his teachings were spreading all over Europe. Heinrich Bullinger, organizing churches in Switzerland. Henry VIII, he was, gained authority to become the supreme head of the Church of England. And the repercussions reached Italy in the form of publications and frequent discussions. The people mostly involved in those discussions were known as spirituali. Michelangelo became in a group of those spirituali in Viterbo, a city between Florence and Rome, and was particularly close to a poetess with whom he shared many conversations, letters, and poems. Michelangelo, who had until then written tormented poems about death, seems to have found comfort in the doctrine of justification through faith alone. Huh. Here's the poem. This is what Michelangelo, nearing the end of his life. As your breath left you, you prayed for us, O Father. Let those who believe join me in my kingdom. And now my soul at rest knows no more fear. Now by your mercy, I believe and know your burning passion, which raised all my guilt, lowered, cut down all my guilt forever as it consumed you on the cross. Wow. By the time he sculpted Pietà Rondanini, remember the weird one, Mary and Jesus melting into each other, he'd become the most famous and probably the richest guy of his time. His mind was focused on the end of his life, and the last sculpture was an illustration of his constant musing. The severed arm of Jesus gives an idea of the proportions in the original sculpture, which Michelangelo kept reworking until the figures of Jesus and Mary became almost ethereal, giving the impression that it's Jesus who holds up Mary. Ha ha. That ain't Catholic. He died February 18th, 1563, from a fever aggravated by a walk in the rain. Among his papers, someone found an unfinished prayer. My dear Lord, you who alone clothe and strip souls, and with your blood purify and heal them of countless sins and human drives. Huh. Is it possible that we might see the great artist in heaven? With Jerome Savonarola, who apparently artificial intelligence is censoring. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Richmond, Virginia's water system recently collapsed under the snowstorm that hit much of the nation, drawing attention to its utilities director, whose primary qualification seems to be advancing DEI rather than maintaining infrastructure. She focused on gender quotas and inclusive workspaces. The EPA cited the city for corroded pumps, cracked filters, and outdated emergency plans. And now residents sit without water while officials dodge questions about preventative measures. The Biden administration's Title IX overreach met its match in federal court as a judge recognized that redefining sex requires more than bureaucratic wishful thinking. Beyond protecting women's spaces, the ruling restores due process rights that Biden's rules had stripped from accused students. Even a broken clock strikes truth twice a day. Well, Notre Dame's coach Marcus Freeman showed real leadership after his Orange Bowl victory, deflecting an ESPN reporter's attempt to make race the story. While she pushed identity politics, Freeman redirected attention to his team's achievement and his faith. Well, Senator Mark Kelly wants consequences for China's cyber assault on American telecommunications, though he might have considered that before his party spent years enabling Beijing's digital colonization. The Supreme Court looks ready to finally shut down TikTok next week, leaving influencers scrambling and communist data miners seeking new targets. Well, California continues to burn while Gavin Newsom fiddles with messaging. Instead of addressing his state's catastrophic wildfire response, he begged Biden recently to combat misinformation, apparently believing PR matters more than preparation. The $50 billion in damages suggests Mother Nature disagrees. Well, England's Field Hockey Association remembered that reality exists by banning males from women's competition, and their new policy creates females and open categories, acknowledging that strength and speed differences matter more than feelings. Britain's parliament voted against investigating their Pakistani rape gang scandal, with 364 MPs deciding some crimes are too politically incorrect to prosecute. The rejection of an inquiry into decades-old systemic abuse proves some cover-ups wear suits. And New York City's solution to violent street crime, you want to know what that is? Well, it's throw another $650 million at homelessness, because the first few billion worked so well. Mayor Adams promises more beds and cleaning crews while criminals set subway passengers on fire. And at least the parks will be cleaner for all the mayhem. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2, 3, 4. This is Wretched Radio. Timing, Jimmy, you've got now. Savonarola quotes. He's the friar from Florence who railed against the Vatican and the excesses and the indulgences and the debauchery that was going on inside of the Vatican. AI finally gave it up?
They did.
What took so long?
Well, I had to word it the way you told me to.
Did you scold it?
I did.
You got it, Chet? See? Isn't that funny?
Digitally shook my finger at it.
Well, it depends. The AI gets programmed by somebody. They don't glean everything. Hey, this is going to be so unhelpful. James, he's my editor. He said that there's an AI that he uses and that he knows others that use that doesn't do that. That doesn't edit. It just gives you what it knows from the internet. And it begins with the letter P. Just go ahead and Google for that. You'll ask AI. Jimmy, when you're done with your Savannah roller quotes, ask AI for the AI.
Okay.
That doesn't edit.
All right.
And filter things out. Let's see if they'll give us that information. All right, hit us with Savonarola.
The Church of Rome is the Babylon of Revelation.
Oh.
Her priests are merchants of the soul. Her pope, a merchant of sin.
Oh.
They sell Christ again for silver, and they sell him daily at the altar in indulgences, in favors, mocking his sacrifice.
And Jimmy, what did Savonarola get for his sharp words and critique of Roman Catholicism?
Yeah, he was burned at the stake.
Oh. How's about that?
Yep.
He was arrested, threatened, he recanted, felt guilty, recanted of his recantation, and they burned him alive. Nice. Fair. And if I'm not mistaken, there's words recorded of what he preached on the stake. Do you want to use your AI machine for that? Yep. What did Jerome Savonarola preach while he was being burned alive? Because regularly, they would cook a guy's goose, and the guy would preach and people would get saved. So then ultimately they ended up killing him before they'd burn him so they wouldn't have the opportunity, like William Tyndale was strangled by a chain so that he couldn't preach and people could be saved by it. Jan Hus from what is now, Czechoslovakia, a Bohemian priest. They put him to the stake. He burned for about 17 minutes preaching and people got saved. So the Roman Catholic Church had to put an end to that. But the Pope, by the way, would also, look at that segue. He'd like to put an end to national debt. How? By having rich nations forgive the debts of less rich nations. Because it's the year of Jubilee. See what he did there? He took an Old Testament concept for the nation of Israel to take care of families. This was forgiveness of debt. That was between parties, not nations. But the Pope calling on all of the nations to just forgive the debt. I think that's immoral. Because where did that money, whose money is that? The money that was loaned belongs to the money of the people through taxes. And it's not fairer for a government to just dismiss that debt when it's owed because the government doesn't pay it. The government doesn't give anybody money. That's citizen money. And the Bible does not endorse one nation forgiving the debt of another. I thought some of his quotes were interesting. I'll translate this for you from Latin. The cultural and structural change needed to surmount this crisis will come about when we finally recognize we are all sons and daughters of the one Father. You say, is he a universalist? Yes. But Roman Catholicism is universalist. It allows Muslims, it allows Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus. They just don't have the fullness of the truth. In his final homily of 2024, he said that all people were welcome to Rome during the Jubilee year, as he invited not only Catholics, but, quote, other Christians, believers in every religion, seekers of truth, freedom, justice, and peace, all pilgrims of hope and fraternity. Huh. Well, I don't think Jesus affirms of that statement, which would be another reminder that the office of the papacy isn't biblical. Jimmy, did they give you Savonarola on the cross or at the stake being burned up?
I do have several quotes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
He said, the Lord has endured so much for me. Can I not endure this little for him?
Mm.
I forgive you willingly, for the Lord forgave his persecutors.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a man who actually believed in justification, probably not in as sophisticated a way as some of the latter reformers, but he was a precursor to the Protestant Reformation. Let's hope we see him in heaven. Imagine the stories he'll have to tell. Found the article from World. I'm thinking if he hasn't done something already, I'm guessing our fellow Dr. Andrew Walker is preparing something to help us think through the issue of AI. This is a World, WNG.org. Christians should beware artificial intelligence and its evangelists. Those people who are saying, hey, let's just get AI. AI is going to be amazing. This is really strong. The article asks, why is there an AI arms race in the first place? Answer, knowledge is power. And AI is very powerful because it's very smart. It's also very biased based on which AI you're using. Did you use the AI to ask it which type of AI doesn't censor?
I did, and it doesn't give me any.
And smoke came out of the side of the machine.
That's right.
Oddly, AI is the biggest thing Christians aren't talking about. But that needs to change. What's at stake isn't just national defense or a re-engineered economy. What's at stake is the re-engineering of the human race. Oh boy, here comes a new revolution. It's a part of the technological revolution, but AI and quantum computing, get ready. This is like a brave new world. The article, the people who put the matter this way don't wear tinfoil hats. They work at places like Google, Microsoft, Amazon, where billions of dollars are being poured into AI, and they're warning, look out, this thing is going to be a monster. I'm not scared of it, but the technology doesn't merely promise to upgrade productivity. It is secular eschaton, an apocalypse that will end an old order and institute a new one. Well, that's happened historically. Inventions come along, and it propels society, advances it, apparently, but not always. Not all technological advancements, you can say, are thoroughly good. I think we would all agree, social media and electronics, the cell phone, yeah, lots of blessings. People's lives have been saved. I get to Google things like, what did Jerome Savonarola say when he was being burned alive in Florence for being a critic of the Vatican? But it can also put me into my own little world. It can also allow me to just go away and just design everything that pleases me for a split second. And, oh yeah, there's my wife and kids. Do they need a tent? I got some more swiping to do. So it's every technological advancement, it has some negatives, but we should be talking about them rather than just, okay, AI, here it is. Away we go. Hold on. And Christians should be leading the way. I'm looking forward to Andrew Walker providing that for us. From this article, the technology doesn't merely promise to upgrade productivity. It's going to end an old order and institute a new one. A select few may even merge with artificial intelligence, potentially live for thousands of years, doubt it, while the rest of us will likely be deemed economically useless and relegated to life on the dole with a universal basic income. Okay, these guys at World, they're not like tin hat kind of guys. And they're saying there's something about artificial intelligence that needs to be addressed. Who's supreme? Who's the one who knows everything? Who's the one who determines how we are to live? Is it really going to be electronics? Or is it going to be a different source? Or will there be no source whatsoever? Continuing to span the globe, let's go to Michigan. Saw a news story, so sorry I don't have this for you. But the news story was about the Christian Reformed Church in Grand Rapids. And they are wrestling, of course, with the marriage issue and the transgender issue. And the news story, nothing new. It's a denomination that's struggling. Some people are for, some people are against it, and some people are just clocked out. But it means that it's another denomination that is being torn asunder because of these modern issues. And the individuals that they interviewed to say, hey, the Christian Reformed Church, they need to be embracing of gay pastors and gay marriage. They used a term to describe a type of church that does that, a full participation church. What? Is that like reproductive health care? Did you just take something that's bad and give it a fancy title to make it sound like it's actually good? We're a full participation church. Implication, if you believe the Bible says what it says, including what Jesus said about homosexuality, you're not a full participant. You're not a welcoming church. Get ready. Some new lingo is being slung for us. Are you a full participation? We're a full participation church. Anybody can come. You ain't going to stay that way like the rest of us. God's going to change you. I don't know of a real Bible church that doesn't welcome people. More code to try to make us look like cold conservative curmudgeons. This is Wretched Radio. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
What good is having a bank account with millions of dollars if you never use it? Well, the same is true with theology. Having Bible knowledge without applying it to your life is like having wealth you never spend. That's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Kreitz.
Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them.
Stop letting powerful biblical truths sit idle in your mind. Let Dr. John Kreitz show you how to integrate God's Word into every area of your life. Integrated, a new production from Fortis Institute. It's available now on Fortis Plus and all major podcast platforms. It's produced by Fortis Institute, and you can learn more about Dr. John Kreitz and Integrated at fortisinstitute.org.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Eureka, he found it. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy. Your discovery. Did you use the AI to find the AI competitor?
I tried, but it said
it wouldn't give it to you.
No.
Well, it's no fool.
That's right.
All right. So the AI that presumably doesn't censor or edit is called
Perplexity.
Perplexity. Mm-hmm. And they also give, you said that they also will provide the sources that they pull from.
Yeah, they say every search is.
They footnote it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. Because if you don't know what the sources are, how do you know how to trust it? It's like watching a PBS special. It really is. It's like, looks good. Sounds, wow, really professionally done. Great voiceover. Is that true? I have no idea. Who's the source of it? So apparently Perplexity provides that. And that's a very good thing. I hope all the AI machine. Remember, AI isn't like a big fat Buddha on a hill. Let's go ask the Buddha for his wisdom. It's not like a thing even. It's not even like a computer. It is a massive system that just like in quantum speed can grab information from all over the internet. And it's amazing. I use it sparingly, but I'll use it. But I got to tell you, when you don't know the source and when it's willing to not give you information that you know it has because it doesn't want you conservative to know it, that just reminds us those things are programmed. AI doesn't scare me, but I do think that we need to be mindful. Sources, sources, sources. I'm so sorry. I didn't think that I was going to break down like this at this moment.
Are you okay?
I wasn't even going to mention it.
Oh, what's wrong?
Well, this is a big day for me. I'm feeling understood.
Understood.
And finally, you know, I'm tall, Jimmy.
Well, yeah.
And
it's occurred to me.
It's you look up to me. It's nice to know that I'm finally being understood because it has been deemed that asking a tall person to take something down from a shelf you can't reach is a microaggression. It's official. We've lost our minds. Now, I know there's a lot of things that point in that direction. It's a microaggression because it's a judgment on me being tall. Because it's recognizing I'm not the same height as normal, as I was going to say, average people.
Wouldn't it?
I deserve an aggression for that comment. Wouldn't not it? A micro.
Micro, isn't that the opposite?
A microaggression? No, it's not like tall people are big jerk losers. That's an aggression.
Okay.
A microaggression doesn't say it's being critical, but it is.
Hey? I see.
You know what I'm looking forward to too? When they finally come up with a microaggression for the husband that has to get the lid off of the top of the jar. Because I get asked for that too on occasion. Hey, let's keep spanning the globe. Jimmy, this is very exciting. There's a new Inauguration Day Bible. Yep. $69. Or you can get four copies for $59 each. Features an embossed cover with Trump's name and the date of his upcoming inauguration, including the Declaration of Independence, Pledge of Allegiance, and the lyrics to the chorus of God Bless the USA by Liam Friedman.
Well, that's got to be in there. It's not an American Bible without it.
He can still sing that dude, Lee Greenwood. Remember, I think we played that about a year ago. He was traveling around with President, now President, well, soon to be President Trump again. What do we call him? I've noticed when you watch the news, they refer to President Carter and Trump, President Obama and Trump. Seems to be kind of a double standard. As long as we're in the political realm, which we sort of are. Hey, guess what the number one cause of death is around the globe? That's right. Abortion. Isn't that swell? Number one is abortion. By the way, suicide, I think, is like in the top five. That's really, that should emote something from the believer. We are living in a hurting world, aren't we? But the number one cause of death in the world, I think I saw the number on a different document, but it was like 50 million babies were killed the last year. And that probably does not include all of the abortion pills that you can have sent to you in the mail. You know what we should be doing? We should be praying that this administration will be pro-life and will be willing to say, state level, federal level, it doesn't matter, on any level, the intentional taking of an innocent human life is grotesque. And we are a nation that will not abide it, and we will put an end to it. That's what we should be praying for. Jimmy Carter, I don't know if you knew this, Jimmy, but Jimmy Carter, before Barack Obama and Joe Biden, he actually affirmed civil ceremonies for gay marriages.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you use your AI machine? Wasn't he a Baptist?
He was a Southern Baptist.
No, he was. He left. Oh. Actually, I wish they had left it him. I remember when he started becoming really critical of the Southern Baptist Convention. I think it was over the role of women in ministry. And so he left the Southern Baptist Convention. I think hindsight 2020, and who knows if it would have been best. I thought it would have been magnificent if the SBC had said, sorry, former Mr. President, you can't be in our convention. If you believe that. Furthermore, he didn't want to impose his values on people regarding the abortion issue. I saw a PBS special on Jimmy Carter. It was not as easy to watch as the Ronald Reagan special that I just saw the other night. But because of his death, of course, they're talking about him a lot. And they showed how he presumably became a Christian. Now, I didn't expect them to get into detail. I wish they had, but they didn't. Nevertheless, Jimmy Carter grew up a rather moral man, pretty severe father. They went to their local Baptist church. And Jimmy was an upstanding citizen, went off to the Navy. His dad died, came back, took over the family business, got bored after a while, and decided to run for office. And he lost. And then His sister came to visit, who presumably was a born-again Christian, and he went for a walk with her, saying, "What is it about you that is so different?" She said, "Well, I'm born again." And he said, "Well, I want that." And presumably, that's when he started identifying as a born-again Christian. And by the way, this will be of interest to you. For whatever it's worth, I know it was on the PBS machine, so it might not be worth anything. They talked about Ronald Reagan. After the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, they were talking about how it affected him. And one of the commentators said he became more evangelical. Huh, that's interesting. What that looks like, I don't know, because they don't explain exactly what they believed directly. Which, by the way, we're going to be producing a video for the YouTube machine. I don't know if it's going to be out this week or next week. I could be exaggerating, but it might be one of the more important videos that we've ever done. Recently, there have been a number of proclamations that high-profile people have been hearing the gospel from different individuals. And hey, I'm as excited as anybody about an unbeliever hearing the gospel, famous or otherwise. But I went to watch them and I thought, well, they didn't share the gospel. That wasn't the gospel at all. One in particular, I remember it was, I think the producer of The Chosen was with Jordan Peterson. And he said something along the lines of, it's kind of irrelevant. It was basically like Jesus customizes like his engagement with you personally and individually. Something like that. You do with that as you see fit. But what got me were all the people going, boom, there it is. Jordan Peterson heard the gospel. Boom, there it wasn't. I can't criticize what he said because I don't remember it exactly, but that's not my critique. My critique is of the critiquers who said that was the gospel. It wasn't the gospel. You didn't hear the gospel at all. If we're going to proclaim the gospel, it must contain certain elements. No, somebody does not need to be able to write a systematic theology set. But they do need to know some of the basics. And in these different examples of people presumably sharing the gospel with a famous person, oh, I wish they had. But, and some of the, you can't be critical of them because it was just a conversation. But what got me about it are the people that were calling it a gospel presentation. And it wasn't. It's not that what these people did was bad. It just wasn't the gospel, which is a reminder we've kind of lost the scent as what exactly is the gospel? And the gospel has been so morphed, and we are so assumptive when we present the gospel. If you didn't know anything about the nature of God, if you weren't convinced that you're a terrible sinner, if you didn't really know who Jesus was beyond maybe being a swear word or a really good teacher, and somebody came to you and just said, hey, believe in Jesus, he died for you. Okay, who's he? Why that? Big deal. We've got to do better at proclaiming the gospel. We've got to be more thorough. Just when you witness to somebody, pretend they know absolutely nothing, because chances are they don't know much, or what they do know is misinformed. We need to present, I think, who, what is the most helpful way to remember. Who is God? Who are we? What do we deserve? What has he done for us? And what must we do in response? And that will guide our presentations when we share the gospel. It'll keep us from getting us knocked off track. And the person who hears it will actually hear the gospel. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.